frustration. Bear with me. I know in the first service when I said divine frustration, a lot of people looked at me, oh, what's frustration? Or can we talk about that in church? So you can turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 22. We're going to read from there. Romans 8 verse 22. I'm going to read from the Message translation. Romans 8, 22 till 25 is my text for this morning. All around us we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Okay, I said the ladies, the mamas, you'll be able to identify a little bit better this morning. I'm going to try for us men to try and sketch this through the sermon as far as best as I can do, although I know I'm limited according to my experiences, in the sense that mothers know the experience of going through that whole process of giving birth from the moment that she finds out that she's pregnant, the excitement about that new life that's inside of her till she feels that first kick. And daddy, all we know is just put your hand there. Feel that. Did you feel that? And we try to be excited, I know. But they say for the men, it comes afterwards. And that's the truth, you know. I know maybe there are men that's better than me there, but I struggled with that. But that connection part between father and the child, it takes for me, and I've heard many more men say the same, that after the birth, that's the more normal process for men to take place. But with the mother, that happens in the waiting process, in that time when the baby is formed, that time when she's waiting, there's an expectation. How is he going to look? How is she going to look? And then it goes to that place of preparing a room, getting everything ready. The suitcase is packed, just in case I need to go earlier. There's something about that. The Bible talks about that. John 16. Before we go there, John 16, let me ask you this first. Coming back to frustration. What upsets you in life? Nobody's being upset yet. I'm the only one that's getting upset. Littering, I used the example. When people litter, at that moment, I'm like, what did you do just now? And somebody shared the taxis. I hope there's no taxi driver here. And well, God bless you. We love you. We just, what else? What's upsetting you? Where's the you? Come on, what's upsetting you in life? Makes you angry. Other people's dogs poo in your yard. Listen to that one. Okay. We're all getting angry for various reasons. And there's this series on television. Oh, I don't know if the English people watch that. Boer soek 'n vrou. Okay. You've seen that series about Boer soek 'n vrou. They try to find a wife for this farmer. It's in South Africa. A very interesting series. And I had the interview with one of these guys, very interesting guy. Now they're asking all kind of questions because that's supposed to give the lady a hint into, will this be a man or not? And they asked him, what's upsetting you in love? What's making you angry? But bear in mind, this is now in terms of relationship. They're trying to fish here. And he's going, a bakkie wat jy wil start hier. A car that doesn't want to start, you know. And I was just laughing. I think, you know, we all have different things. And or whether it's the car that doesn't start or the dogs. We all have different things, but I want to talk about godly, divine frustrations in our life that God needs to cause in our life to move us into a direction. Coming back to the motherhood experience of that waiting, about 9 months, from the time of excitement till you go through that process of waiting, and then eventually you go through that process. Nowadays it's been changed, but the process of pain, giving birth to that. Mothers would agree, I've seen partly, that it's not unbeautiful. There is a painful process of going through that birth. But after that, the joy of holding that little baby, that something, that beautiful creation, is so much more than the pain of going through. And Jesus says in John 16, if you quickly want to go there, John 16 verse 20, he says, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And I'm just quickly going to read for you, Galatians 4, verse 19. Paul writes here to the Galatians, and he says to them, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Are you at that place? Or shall I say, what happens when you look at the world out there? Do you experience the pain of the world? Do you experience the brokenness? Does that do something inside of you? Does that frustrate you in a way that it moves you to something? We all get those moments from time to time, different things. Now we're not talking about the dog pooing and the, or the, as Quentin said, the airtime that's run out. Not those frustrations. The godly frustrations when we're in the middle of an encounter where life meets death, the brokenness of this world, we face that. We experience that for a moment. It frustrates us. And we might choose to turn our back and walk away because we do not want to go there. I've done that many times. Being the priest, being the Levite, when the man was lying next to the road, and I didn't want to get involved in that. I saw that. But let me not just go there because it's going to cost me something. Well, I don't even want to feel that. The moment I step out of that comfort zone of mine, allow God to birth that or carry on with that process, there's a painful process coming and I'm not willing to go through that. Because God, I'm not going to pay for that. It's just too much. We all get those moments, those godly frustrated. And I want to say to you this morning, I like frustrated people because they're the hope of the church, because it means that they care about something in life. It's just what we do with our frustrations. Can we turn them around rather than just being negative? You see, frustration is the elegant test to determine faithfulness versus our current attitude. It's a privilege this morning to be made frustrated by God, because He wants to do something in life. What are we going to do with that? That thing that ticks us. Walter's got this thing about the weak, the vulnerable, the children out there. It breaks his heart. It moves him. So I always commend him for that, because I believe that's just the beginning of something. So a year ago, he had an encounter. Even before that, I've seen that when we went on outreaches. He had a confrontation. He realized there's something here. I've got to give birth to something. There's something that frustrates me. Now we're running, I wouldn't say are running, let's say we got involved in Arandas. That's just one example. I tell you what, that's not even the beginning yet, where God is busy moving all of us. And we all have those different things. Marriages. What's your thing this morning that frustrates you? Are you choosing to be blind and leave that to somebody else to do something about that? Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 20, I love this. I quote it so often. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Friends, I pray that God will impregnate us so much with his word, with his purposes, that when Jeremiah writes, I tried to withhold that, but it's this battle inside of me. I knew I had to do something about this. I wanted to keep the word back, but I could not. It was like a burning fire. Every one of us this morning has got a fire somewhere in there. Maybe it's not lit up yet. Maybe today is the day when God wants to light up that fire inside of you. Send you out there and say, go. Let the fire just spread. I have these two Jack Russells, or they can bark as a competition, you know, they do that. And we live close to the school as well, so that doesn't complement it either. So the children tease the dogs all the time. But the one would bite, but he's too small. We all bark in life at the things that frustrate us. We talk about that. But very few of us bite. We don't go after that frustrates us. The brokenness. Those things that's not right. I want to see that righteousness is established. Very few of us bite. Or we'll bark. We'll have the barking competition. We have the barking meeting. And we all feel good. And Sundays we'd bark again. But few of us bite at the works of the devil. This is it. I've been frustrated long enough. I've had enough. I don't care who's going with me now. Right now, I'm making a change in my life. And God starts with me. You're starting with me first. And I'm going to move out in faith, God, and I'm going to trust you that you'll use me. You're going to give me one person that I can impart into. And then, God, I'll just leave the rest up to you to do what only you can do. See, frustration should leads to intercession. Supposed to be. We're supposed to, that moment when we see that or we experience that, recognize that God is the author of that. That he calls us to be at the right time, at the right place, in the midst of the circumstances, to see that, to experience that, and to do something about that. To acknowledge him and to turn that into prayer. And say, God, I'm going to start praying for this. I don't know, maybe I'll just, but I'm going to start praying. Because there's something beautiful that's happening inside us when we start praying. God does such a beautiful work. It turns into passion. Our intercession, our frustration being channeled into intercession moves into a passion for something. If we continuously pray and pray and say, God, I want to see a difference there. God, I want to see that marriages are restored. God, I want to see that the poor, there's something being done in this community about the poor. God, I pray, and I pray for the motherless. I pray for the fatherless. I pray for the orphans. God, I pray for those. God has something inside of us. You see, and we have the choice. When we continue barking or continue just talking about our frustrations in life, never do anything about it, never pray about that, never taking it back to God, all we become is a critical voice. The same thing, critical voice. And we talk about that, and this is not right with the church, and why can't the church reach out there, and the church should do this, and why we are the church anyway. instead of allowing God, as we seek Him, as we move from intercession to passion, for His prophetic empowerment to be released through us. That's what's happening. The moment when passion is birthed inside of us. The prophetic voices. God opens my eyes to see. And I release. I speak prophetic words over that situation. And I start walking in that. What kind of prayers are you praying lately, my friend? Were you like Moses or Joshua? Try to do it in your own strength initially. Jonah. I'm not going there. I'd rather go the opposite direction. Or Moses had a frustration as well. Just dealt with it the wrong way initially. And we know the story about Moses. We've got the choice this morning what we do with those things in life. Whether we're going to become critical, whether we're going to do it in our own strength, or we allow God to take control of my life. And then we go through this whole process of giving birth. Because it's nice in the beginning when we feel the movement, I believe. Ladies, and stop me if I'm going the wrong way. Well, when you don't fit in the clothes anymore, you go through all that. And you feel, oh, I just wish we'd passed that point so I can get my figure back and all of that. The process is not always nice going through, and eventually when it goes to that peak of going through the pain, it's not always an easy process. It's not always as comfortable. See, passion leads to the next thing, to transition. Two things need to happen. We need to have a revelation. We need to have a revelation of what frustration really is. God, what is happening here inside of me? Why are you allowing me to experience this? Why are you allowing me to see this? What are you saying to me? And then secondly, the transition will take us to our testing and our proving ground. It's that place between the promise and the fulfillment. Adam had that. The Lord says to Adam, rule over all the earth. Have dominion over the earth. Then He places him in the Garden of Eden to test and see if he can rule over himself. And now we know this story. Why are we sitting here this morning? Why we have church? Take us back to that place. God is busy restoring us. We all fail God in many ways. How many times have we been frustrated, not done anything about that? Just, and then next week we'll do that again. And we turn our eyes towards one another. You should do something about it. And we become critical towards one another. While God's hand is just upon me, upon you, chances are higher than when you, or likely when you had that frustration, God is about to use you. He's placed you there for a reason. Let you experience that for a reason. Not that you can impart that experience or that frustration to somebody else and hope you can walk away and say, okay, she's going to deal with that. I'm just called to experience the frustration and just pass it on. There's not such a calling in the Word or in life. We all have our moments where we are at that place. See, we only change in life if the pain of staying is higher than the pain of changing. So we do not want to pay the price of changing too much. So we are made to believe it's right. Stay on this side. Stay there where it's comfortable. But I pray God this morning that He will turn up the pain knob this morning a little bit for where we are sometimes in life. That we realize I've got to get out of the boat in order to change, in order to pay that price in the front there, because there's going to be a price. Prosperity gospel will tell you, no, there's no price. You can just get everything on the outside. Just come. You get it for free. And that's true, part of that. But there's a price this morning that we need to pay in order. There's a painful process that we're going through. And quickly, I want to share about the process of transition. The first one, just four points, I won't be long. The process of transition happens when we first experience a revelation. every time when God wants to move and we've reached a place where we're stuck in a way, God needs to give us a revelation again. Open our eyes, basically. And we don't get revelation so that we can stack them and file them in the at home in my study room. And I have all these revelations about God, and it's great to share that with you. I only get revelation so that it can change me. It's the only reason why God gives us revelation. He gives us revelation so that He moves us into a direction. It's a beginning preceded by an ending. It gets under our skin, makes us excited. But there's an increase in character and commitment that it asks of me and you every time there's a revelation. That's why the Bible says to be cautious of becoming puffed up with knowledge. When we hear all these things, we experience that the lights actually goes on. We understand that and we file that. Can I get another one? God, every time He wants to do something new, there's a revelation that takes place in my heart. There's something that happens in there, your heart this morning. More anointing, more power is needed. A stronger character, stronger commitment, because perseverance is going to come. And I shared in the first service as well, you know, we're all different this morning, which is beautiful. Doesn't make the one right and the other one wrong. But when it gets to moving out of the boat, some of us, we struggle a little bit more with that. Others of us, we jump out of the boat and we run. We don't use the wisdom part. You know, so we need one another and we get about it. And I want to use the comparison this morning, faith and caution. Caution is not necessarily bad. Faith wants to go for it. Caution wants to do it right. We gotta seek God for both of that. Faith says we are going to do it. Caution says, how are we going to do it? Faith will pay the cost. Caution says, I just don't want to pay any unnecessary costs. Let's just think about this. We need both. Without faith, course will deliver a peacetime budget in a wartime situation. And without course, faith will not have the strategy to overcome the obstacles. One or the other, we need both in order to make wise decisions, in order to follow through with what God is doing inside of us, that turmoil inside of us, being pregnant with His purposes. Secondly, this morning, after revelation, we reach that place of confrontation. There's no power this morning without suffering. We want to share in Christ's power and His blessing and the release of life. I can say to you this morning, there's no release of life until we've reached that place of death, the conformity to His death. Luke 14, when Jesus says there's a cost you need to pay. It's fine, you see that, you experience that, you're excited about that, but realize it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. Something's got to die in that process in order to go there. Oh, but the joy on that side is so much more. The fruit and the side is so much more. There's something on the side. I've seen people being looked after. I've seen the brokenhearted being healed. I've seen that orphan being touched. That the safety of the boat here that doesn't match up. I tell you, the moment we step out of that place, you reach that place of fulfillment, you see those things that God is about to do for me and you, allowing Him just to let that flavor come out. Because I tell you what, you've got something inside of you this morning that you do not even know of. Every one of us is undiscovered. And it's not a sermon here this morning about what I can accomplish. It's about what God's purpose, releasing that into the world. Let the kingdom come. Every one of us differently out there. God, have those moments with us. See, when Jesus was on the cross and He said it is finished, He didn't go to heaven straight away. The Bible says He went down to hell first to set the captives free. And even though He said it is finished, He had to go down, descend before He had to ascend. And the same for us this morning. We have to descend first before we will ascend and rise up with Him wherever we find ourselves this morning, whatever the price might be, whatever we have to lay down this morning in order to walk through that door of experiencing more. The third one, the transformation process, where it's happening inside of us. I want to say to you this morning that God can only, or the fruit of the Spirit only grows in poor soil. What do I mean with that? Faithfulness is not tested in the nice times when everything is fine. We love one another and everything is working. Faithfulness is tested when the opposite happens and I've got the choice to walk away and abandon that. Peace inside of me doesn't come when there's peace all around me. And everybody's at peace and everybody's happy. And there's no fruit to. And the way we talk about one another, oh, we can carry on and on. It just works in the opposite ground. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in and He transforms me. You know, when others are unkind, the gentleness that God needs to work inside of, whatever it might be, it doesn't operate in an environment where everybody's kind. It's no work for me there. It's not necessary for me. And so we can carry on and on. Manifestation, my fourth one. It's the time between the fulfillment and the revealing of God, of all that is declared to us. It's the fulfillment and the revealing of all that God has declared to us. And I want to say to you this morning, that's the part where we want to reach to, that manifestation, going through that painful process. And that's normally, and some of you sitting here this morning, you're in tremendous pain spiritually. But God is about to give birth to something. You're on the verge where God wants to give something. You've been in this process for a while. You've hanged in there, but now you're at that ultimate place where pain, you feel the pain. And you're about to, I want to say, you're about to abort that baby. God says, hang in there. Because the joy after that is so much more than aborting that baby at that spiritual. You're about where God is opening in that manifestation part, where God opens a new door. The Bible talks about the mysteries of Christ, walking through that place where you experience just so much more. Gilly and Chantal, they were in the first service, and we had a dedication. The little boy, they were dedicating, and they're also baptizing themselves this afternoon, 12:30. You're welcome to go there at the Moela, where they launched the boat, to attend that and to watch that. But the baptism is one of those moments when the Bible talks about the mysteries of Christ. You will know if you've been baptized that once you do that, I can explain to you as far as I can, as best as I can, what's happening at the baptism. But there's something that's reserved the moment I do that, that I experience only because I've done that. There's a heavenly realm that's opening. There's a spiritual realm that's opening up to invite me to a deeper level that no man can give you. And we sometimes struggle at that first hurdle, say, the baptism. We fight about that. And I'm like, guys, there's so much more on that side. Just jump over that hurdle. Because one day you look back and think, you know, now that I'm thinking back about my own life and think, God, I thought that was a big one. But then I realize there's so much more coming. And I got to just go through that door every time to experience that manifestation of more of you, God, into a deeper level of you. I'm allowing you to make me pregnant. I'm allowing you just to do more, God, because if I'm hanging in there and I go through that painful process of seeing that, I will experience something on the other side there, a joy that's waiting on the other side, a door that's opening for me on the other side that I would never, ever experience if I sat or stayed in my boat. And the pain of staying is higher, or you only change when the pain of staying is higher than the pain of changing. I end with this story. They, in America in 2005, when they were still involved in the war in Iraq, there's a man called Joey Smith. And he's in the army, he's a Marine, and he got injured. Two containers fell on him. Now, the doctor says it's a miracle that he's alive. But in the process, he was paralyzed, so he went through several operations, and then he was basically in a pit, a dump in his life. For 4 years he lost his voice, couldn't talk. He was so in a dump. And during this time he used pen and paper, and he wrote something that became known as the Creed of the Wounded Warrior, which was eventually adopted in U.S. Army. And it reads like this: though I'm wounded, I will always be a warrior. I will never give up nor quit in the face of adversity. I will do my best in all that I do and achieve. I will not allow my injuries to limit me. And most of all, listen to this, and this is the part I want to get to. I will never forget my fallen comrades or leave a fellow injured warrior behind. Let's close our eyes. My friend, I don't know where you are this morning, but that's my prayer this morning, that God will open our eyes for the fellow brothers and sisters out there that's injured this morning, maybe. And I had that moment when sometimes we face that. When I see that pain, when I see that brokenness, when it starts frustrating me. And I cannot understand why there's nothing being done about that. May God move in our heart this morning. May He move in us in such a way that when we reach such a place again, say, God, make me pregnant this morning. That's what I want to pray this morning while nobody is looking around. We're all at different places this morning in life. But maybe, and I want to ask you, this is a very bold prayer. I prayed this prayer about 3 weeks ago. I'm going to ask God to give you a divine frustration this morning. It's different for all of us. Maybe you're on that process where you're following God and you're obedient to that, you're faithful. Maybe you are at a place of pain this morning, or you want to just abort and walk away, or you're discouraged. So God, how long? Maybe you're 6 months down the line and you know there's still a long way, but you don't know if you've got the strength this morning. So while nobody's looking around, if you want to pray that prayer this morning, you can just indicate by raising your hand. And you want to pray and say, God, make me pregnant this morning. Give me a divine frustration this morning. That's for me. Just for me. I accept responsibility for that this morning. I hear your voice. God, set me up over this time. Allow me to experience that. While nobody's looking around, you can raise your hand and you can just lower it. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Let's all stand. I think this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to sing one more song, but while we sing that song, I want you just to say that unto God. I can pray that prayer with you. I think it's best that we do business with God. Just where you are, as you worship God, and just say, God, here I am this morning. Set me up. Give me the divine frustration, because it's going to come with the responsibility. It's going to come with something that's going to ask me and you. And we can choose to walk away again. May God help us not to. Or we're going to choose to follow it through.